Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Lower Your Expectations. Marcus is laughing at me quite a lot.
Smiling. Happy.
Okay.
Happy.
I hope you're all very well. We're very well. We have a guest of us today. It's the Miss Stephanie Giesinger.
Oh, hi. Sounds great when you say that, Matt.
At the age of 17, Steffi was the winner of the 9th season of Germany's Next Top Model. Fast forward 4 years, she has walked numerous runways for the likes of L'Oreal, D&G, and doing shoots for various brands, recently featuring on Russian Vogue. She's also Marcus Butler's girlfriend.
Yeah, listen to that, Marcus.
That was like the most formal intro I think we have ever had.
It was so weird listening Matt saying all of those things about me. I'm just like, okay, listen to that, Marcus. Your girlfriend is famous.
just reading facts out just at you.
I've just got your Wikipedia page here right now.
Oh.
No, I don't. Signed
off with better than Marcus.
Not true.
But how are you?
I'm very good, and you?
Very good, thank you. Is this the first podcast you've done?
Yes. I've been on a like radio show in Germany, but never on a podcast.
Oh, this is much more professional than a radio show.
Yeah, I see. First this, and second, that's the first time speaking English in like a conversation. Oh,
wow. People must always say this to you when you speak like several different languages. It's like, how do you do it? And like, what do you think? And that's always my question, isn't it? But when you're doing things like professional things, how do you find it? Do you prefer doing things in German?
Oh my God, it's so much easier for me to speak in German because I don't know every single German word in English. Mm. So I always say to Marcus, I don't know if he would have fallen in love with me if he would be German, because I think you are quite different when you're speaking another language. Mm. You're choosing different words, and I think also your personality is a little bit.
You think your personality is different?
I think a little bit. I can imagine.
Could you imagine Marcus doing a show, like a podcast, in German?
Yeah.
Not speaking any English?
Ich kann.
Ja, das könnte er.
Ja.
Auf jeden Fall.
Ich verstehe.
Er versteht viel. Okay.
It is crazy to think that it is technically, English is technically your third language.
Yeah, my first language is Russian because my parents, they come from Russia, from Siberia. But I was born in Germany, and then I've learned German in kindergarten. My parents only spoke Russian to me, and I'm still speaking Russian to them. And then in school, learned English.
When I first met you, I thought you were American.
Oh, is that because of the like accent? When the second language is English, sometimes it comes across as
American.
Well,
you learn English, American English in school.
No, in school we learn British English.
Oh.
Yeah. But
we're better than the Americans. Yes.
But let's go back. So how, for people who don't know, how did you guys meet? Because German, Russian person meeting English.
We met on Tinder.
Bright in person. How does that happen?
Well, do you want to tell the story? Do I? Should
I? Oh, God. Don't get us started.
So Instagram took some people from all over the world. Marcus from England, me from Germany. We went to the AMFA in Cannes. We met one day before the AMFA, right?
Yep.
It was like dinner, lunch, something like that. I was sitting opposite him, and yeah, maybe
she
you
fell
wanna
in love with me from the moment she looked in my eyes. That's how the story finishes, actually, isn't it? You came up to me, you asking me if I like Katy Perry, and like the rest is history. I'm
sure.
Lying completely. From the moment I saw her, I was in love with her, and then probably a little bit creepy. Louise was with us, Louise Pentland.
That was a bit creepy. Bless Louise. Thank you for bringing us together. But that was weird. We were sitting on that big table at the AMFA. And then Louise came over and she was like, so first she started like small talk with me. She was very nice. I liked her. But she kept being on her phone, what I found weird.
I'm sat on like the other side of the table.
Like, so smooth.
Two seats next to us. And she was like, are you single? And I was like, yes. And she was like, do you want to be single? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Just never met the right one. She was like, did you meet Marcus? And I'm like, oh, that's so weird. What do I say now? I was like, Yeah, he's nice. I didn't really speak to him, but...
And I'm sat on the other side of the table getting text updates from Louise, and she's like...
Oh, so that's why she's on her phone.
Yeah.
Oh. So Louise so texts subtle. Me like, Steffi thinks you're nice. You should go and talk to her. I was like, oh my God, okay.
Why did she not wait and tell you then? You know, like
don't
after...
Know. It was so just in the moment.
Why didn't you just speak to her? Why did you get Louise to do
it? Yeah, why did you not speak?
Guys.
He started speaking to me. I can tell when. Katy Perry was performing. He came up to me and I was just like, fuck.
Creepo approaching. Fuck.
Where's my friend?
Warning signs. Love this.
No, not like this. I was just scared of like an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
I was more scared of that. So he came up to me and he was like, do you like Katy Perry? Oh. And I was like...
Great conversation, Sasha. She's performing better than, oh my God, you are so beautiful. So her response was, yes. And just carried on dancing. I was like, fantastic. Me too.
Yay.
No, I think it's more nice if a guy starts speaking to you completely normal. But
yeah,
I
like
was,
that.
I was, what,
do you like
Katy Perry?
No. I was singing all of her songs. And I think the first song was already like through and I was singing like every single word.
Me
and
too. Or pretending to.
You heard me singing and then you asked, do you like Katy Perry? And I was just like, that's so weird. Don't interrupt me singing.
Ooh. Well, look.
She was performing live. I enjoyed the moment.
At the end of that night, you asked me for my phone number.
We ended up in bed. No, no, we didn't.
Rest is history. No, but we're in a lift on the way back. That is my moment because she asked for my number.
I was just
she wanted
nice.
To be friends.
Now we're more than friends.
We hold hands now. Sometimes.
And we didn't end up in bed.
Just to clarify.
Just to clarify.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you won the competition, Germany's Next Top Model, when you were 17.
Yeah.
Were you 16 when you started or were you 17 the whole time?
I was 16 when I applied at the show and now I'm 22.
So looking back then, because... That's what 5 years have passed since then. So you've probably got a bit of like clarity on everything. How was that experience as a teenager being on national television?
Amazing, because the show was already like 9 years going. So I was the 9th season. And I always watched the show. I loved it. I was the biggest fan. And then when I went into the show, I kind of knew what is going to happen. And it was just amazing, but also a bit scary because you had to grow up so fast. You're like 17. So many people are watching you on television. That's one of the most watched shows in Germany.
That's what I was about to say. What I realized, because obviously when I found out about the show, I was like, oh yeah, I know like Next Model from America, and we had it in England, but it was never really like a big show here. Obviously in America is, and it's massive, it's like huge in Germany, like everyone watches it.
Everyone's watching it. We flew to Singapore, that was our first destination, and not speaking to my mom for the first time for so long was quite weird. And then every time the camera was on you, you're just like, what do I do now? And obviously you just feel so uncomfortable. Mm. And then you had to be in a bikini. You had to be naked. You had to be... I felt really weird. But it helped me so much in this industry to realize, like, how do I handle situations? How do I handle interviews? How do I speak to people who want to know bad things about you, like the press? So It was definitely a very good experience.
But it challenged you as well. Like, I obviously didn't watch the show when it was on. That would have been a little bit weird.
A little bit but, creepy.
I've looked at your book, the like finishing book. Yeah, with all your pictures
my model
in.
Book.
Oh, that's
and
so
Germany's
cool.
Next Top Model book.
But the challenges, they set like challenges yeah. each week. And some of the stuff you had to do was mental. Like spiders all over you in one shoot.
Yeah.
You had snakes around you in another shoot. Once
one was like 100 meters in the air and we were just
hanging
like
in the air.
Every week we had one catwalk and one photo shoot and one like other competition, which was, yeah, really like taking a lot from you. So the thing with the spiders was crazy. I had three spiders on me. We
that
were completely
when you're
naked.
Black as well.
Yeah, completely yeah. naked, just painted black. God. And Rankin did the pictures. He's yeah, a London cool. photographer, English. Oh my God, one was horrible. It was like, so we went to Utah and it was super cold there. It was like minus 15 degrees Celsius in the snow. And we had almost nothing on, just a bikini. And we were outside shooting in the snow with horses. That was horrible. But I won the competition.
All the people on the show were models beforehand, weren't they? It was like scouted, right?
Not everyone was modeling before the show. They took out like a combination of girls who were modeling before and also very young models to help them to start. Because it's actually also nice for Germany's Next Top Model to have a fresh face that nobody has seen yeah. before. I was modeling before that though. I started with 13.
When the show came out, so when it was going out on television, had you already watched all of it? Or were you watching it kind of live alongside it going out? Sort
Such
of thing?
A good question. I was watching it live with
were
all
you
of
with,
the
like,
other
friends
people.
And family. Oh, with the other people.
Yeah. The first two episodes, we were still on that show and we were watching it together with the other girls. But then everything after that, I was watching with my family and it was so weird because you kind of knew what will happen already and you're just like, you're a bit cringing because you know you did it bad or because you know you're gonna embarrass yourself. But it was so weird to see also the reactions of people, you know, like, because I come from Kaiserslautern, which is not the biggest city. So many people were like laughing about me and making fun of me and stuff in the first few episodes until I won. And when I won, everyone became so nice to me. And I was just like,
oh,
wow.
Go figure.
Yeah. No, and honestly, since then, I'm like a bit careful with people because now I know how people can change.
But that's so sad to have that realization at 17. You know, people can just change purely because of what you're doing.
It's also like a quite good school, I think, because you get to know the world and people quite Sorry. Good.
So when I was doing my notes for today's episode, I was thinking how the show was almost like a university for you. It was like a college, wasn't it?
True. And it was also like a college because we were all like 21 girls in one big house.
How many there is? 21?
Yeah, we were 21 first. Oh. Yeah, but it was so weird. At the end of the week, you just knew somebody has to go. Mm. And it's just like, oh, please, not me. Please, not me. And one person, because I liked every single girl on there, you always had the feeling like, oh my God, they leave. And then everyone was crying. And one day we were just super sad all together. Yeah, it was definitely like a school, like a learning by doing amazing experience school. And I grew up so fast. I've learned myself. And yeah, it was cool. I've learned myself. I've learned a lot about myself. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I always say that you're 22 and it's you don't come across as 22. And it's only sometimes when if you're with some of your friends that you went to school with or something like that, then it's like, oh my God, you have so much more life experience than like the average 22-year-old, which almost forces you to grow up. Going on the show, almost like you had to like...
Yeah, I had to grow up very fast. Obviously also because of the media. I think media was the hardest bit for me. Going on red carpets and giving interviews. And there's nice media, but there are also people who are just wanting to write shit about you. And they do anything to find out bad things.
The snakes.
Yeah, the snakes of the industry.
Because with a lot of uni degrees, when people do it, they feel like it doesn't actually help them in the real world of what they're doing. So it's good that that show has helped with the real world of modelling, like professional
sure.
modelling.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, I think
sure.
with uni, it's like, you're right. So many people go doing a course and end up doing nothing in their career yeah. to do with that course. But uni does give you yeah. massive life experiences as well, doesn't it?
It does. But sometimes you're not ready for the real world of actual work. Because, yeah, you can study all you want. And yeah. it's, I mean, on a much lesser scale. Like the show where, yeah, you're doing cool things with your friends and whatever. You're learning, having a good time. but it doesn't set you up for actual work.
Real life, yeah.
So it's good that the show is quite close to what the actual industry is like.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely. Hi, welcome on board. I'm Captain Stephanie. Marcus, Matt, are you ready? Okay, let's start the journey. There we see Instagram. There we see Facebook. Where do we want to start? We are in the digital world.
Boom. She's listened to some episodes.
So annoyed because that was so much cooler than when I do it. I go like high pitch and stupid. You just kept it like,
I'm the captain. We'll let the listeners decide what they prefer.
So a huge part of both of your careers is Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. The show Germany's Next Top Model helped me in the digital world because obviously Germans knew me through the show, wanted to continue watching what I'm doing in my life, and they followed me on Instagram. Influencers are at the moment like, oh, I'm not an influencer.
Well, because everyone's an influencer.
Everyone's an influencer. That's what I'm saying. Like, every actor, every...
Go on, hit that table.
Sorry, I'm hitting it quite often.
But you guys being an influencer, me being an influencer is a bit different, isn't it?
Why?
Because you still have an influence. No, I have an influence over...
Doesn't matter, it's still an
influence. Not many people, whereas you have it over a lot more people.
Still an influence.
On my friends. Oh, go and buy... parakeet,
mate. The amount of records I'm ready to buy just from your Instagram story.
No, honestly, I know what you mean, but I don't think everyone is an influencer because you don't influence that many people. But everyone who is in the public eye is an influencer because everyone, like anyone who's watching them, is like, oh, maybe that's cool. Oh, what they're wearing is cool. Whatever. You just like a person and you do the same things.
No, I was going to say from about being a big part of a career, although mine's changed over time, but like Instagram is like your thing.
Yeah.
And it's like Germans don't really use Twitter.
Not at all.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And no Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that? Like, how has Instagram changed the modeling industry for you? And I guess you can put it as well, like, how has Instagram changed YouTube as well?
Yeah, Instagram changed a lot in all the industries, I think. Like, think of any big campaign, like all the new Dolce & Gabbana campaigns and stuff. You only find on those big billboards those influencers, those people who are big on Instagram, because they know it's more authentic than just a model without any personality. And I am very happy that Instagram took over this big modeling world because models are not only what they look like anymore, it's more like what they also have in their brain and in their heart,
their personality,
you know, personalities, everything. But the thing is, when I come to a casting as a model, the first question is always, how many followers do you have? And I mean, for me, it's great because it helps me. But I feel so bad for all of the successful and nice models who are very talented in this business, but they don't get those jobs anymore because they don't have the followers. And I think it's so unfair and so weird, but that's how the world is changing at the moment. And I think we just have to accept it and work with it.
It's nice because obviously my whole life's been social media. Like, my whole career has been born from social media. But to see other industries now fully respecting it, same with the music industry and with Maisie, and the amount of labels and serious people who now put social media as one of the most important things that go alongside the artist. So not only, can they sing? Are they a good songwriter? It's like, have they got a following on socials as well?
It's a lot of pressure though, isn't it? It's all consuming. Yeah. It's like, not only do you have to be talented at whatever you're doing, modeling, singing,
people
acting,
have to like you.
But you have to be like this perfect personality and have the perfect Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
Totally. And some people don't like to show their private life. Some people don't like showing their boyfriends, their home, their anything. And I'm just like, why does everyone has to do it? If you ask me, it all started a bit with the Kardashians in general because of the show. The show was so open. The show was so like in your face that everyone was like, oh, I want to consume this everyday lifestyle vlogging style every day.
Yeah, that alongside YouTube vlogging.
Steffi, when did you first get Instagram, like social media kind of thing? Did you have it alongside the show or was it afterwards that you set up your kind of professional page?
Before the show. I started Instagram before the show. And I can remember I was in school and we were sitting in the break. I was just with like one of my friends, and he was like, take a picture of your shoes and post it. And I was like, that's so weird, why would I do that? And he was like, yeah, that's the new thing, Instagram. So he showed me Instagram, thank you Eugen. And then it just started from then. I was just posting, I don't know, my cat, my shoe, just random weird
classic
things.
Classic. The food plate, the dessert.
But isn't it strange how it goes from that to then being almost professional photos? Well, it is professional photos, really. It is,
yeah,
on your Instagram feed.
Yeah, it is so weird how Instagram for me changed so much, but it's just social media, it became so big. And I think, yeah, no, it's just very interesting how it all changed for me and how I make a business out of it now.
Would you agree that, like, for aspiring models and influencers, I guess, as well, people who want to be, you know, really popular and have a career from it, that it almost works now, Instagram? It's like a portfolio, isn't it? It's like, it doesn't matter, yeah, if you're not walking runways or if you're not doing that, because if you've got an amazing photographer, then you can almost, like, that's half the job done, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but there's an issue with this with people and technology and apps that we have. You can change how you look.
Facetune.
For Instagram. Yeah. And people are using that to such extremes, and even the most followed people in the world do it, and they're changing things. And it's like, one, why are we doing that? Two, if that's how you're putting yourself across, and then you get booked to do something in real life and you look like someone totally different.
Well, I was going to ask, does it frustrate you as a authentic model coming from a modeling background when influencers sometimes come in as models too and they have no experience but they've got a lot of followers?
No, I think it's great. I think it's great that modeling and everything, all the businesses, they open up to, yeah, personalities, because it's, as I said, it's not only how you look like, it's also what you put up on social media.
But I can talk about that coming from my perspective. Like, obviously YouTube has always been my main thing, and then I wanted to start doing more of Instagram, and because of the world changing, it allowed me to do more jobs through Instagram. Yep. And more stuff where 5 years ago I would never have done, and I would never have thought, oh, I could do that.
Walk for Dolce &
Gabbana. Yeah.
But it was nice in your case because you understood the honor it was to do it. I remember when you were doing it at the time, you were like, oh my God, oh, like,
this is
crazy.
Ridiculous.
You were so scared, but excited, and all those big emotions where, I don't know, this might not be true, but there might have been some people there who were just like, oh, it's just another thing. Like, don't give it the same gravitas it deserves.
But that's then just the personality. It doesn't have anything to do with that they're a social media star. They would be the same if they would be an actor. They would just be like, oh, another thing. It's just a personality. If you cherish something or not.
And is, because you brought up, Marcus, about Facetune and things, is that a big thing in the industry?
Oh,
is that what everyone talks about?
I don't know about talks about, but it's like everyone. And I'm like, why?
I can tell you, Marcus, like, because you being criticized by anything you post, and anything you post, people are commenting, oh my God, her toe is weird. Oh my God, her little finger, blah, blah. And then out of this, there are coming memes. Like, think of Ariana Grande. She just took a picture, like a selfie in a mirror with her phone, and her fingers looked weird. And then out of that, everyone was making fun of her hands and fingers, and she probably thought, fucking hell, I should have face-tuned that and nobody would have made fun of me.
But then society's face-tuning for everyone to be perfect. And then
that's the impression
that leaves on the real world, who are looking at everything, thinking that the average person scrolling through their feet thinking,
I'm
fucking
not looking
hell,
like this.
I'm not looking like them. Nope, I'm not. No.
Yeah. Like, it's damaging for kids, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just issues from both sides. Because again, you could say, when are we going to get past dickheads leaving comments like that?
That's one of the big things that the other week we were talking about YouTube and child stars, how are they monitoring that? It's like, it's the same thing with Instagram in a way.
Instagram's a bit similar with, I'd say, YouTube vlogging comments. Like, when you're a vlogger and you let people in your life, I've said it so many times before, people criticize everything you do in your life. And Instagram is a little bit similar with the pictures you post, because it's like, they will criticize exactly how you look. So if you post a picture of you and, I don't know, your hair's funny, people will go, your hair looks shit. They're just so to the point.
But what's the difference with doing Facetune individually, doing it yourself, and magazines and whoever, them doing it to people?
I just wanted to say that.
And they've been doing it years.
It all came from definitely the big Photoshop, which is happening on every single magazine, anything. Even if you watch a movie, they're like, the pimples are out of there and blah, 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 blah. It's all edited. It's all not real, because people want to see that perfect thing. Honestly, people like seeing beautiful people. It is just like that. It is a weird thing, but this is what's happening. And everyone pretends to be perfect.
It's weird because then we have this made up world of what perfect is. You know,
I know.
If throughout time, pictures, videos have been portrayed that way, it's like what actually...
Yeah, the idea of perfect
is made up.
Evolving and changing all the time, isn't it? And it is made up. Of course it is. And I think the people who are vulnerable, who do get really upset and down about not looking like how they want to, I think they forget that the people who they think they want to aspire to have exactly the same thing. They're still face tuning. He said, if the people at the very top of the game are doing it, then that should say something to everyone else that nobody's perfect.
I think also everyone has a bit of self-doubt. I've read a part of it in my book and it said, because we are people and we just want to be accepted and liked by others, we do anything for that. Like, we're being
super nice. It's a human race.
It's just how we are as humans. We're being super nice. We're doing things that we actually don't want to do just to be liked and accepted from other people. And I think that's the same with trying to be perfect with how you look, what you wear and everything. You just want to be someone who's standing out and is accepted and loved from everyone.
It relates into everyday life as well. I feel like the average person cares about how they look. You know, the average person will look in the mirror before they leave the house. Like, if they're getting ready in the morning, going to work, going to school, you look and you do care about your appearance.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you shouldn't be too obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Some people are too obsessed and all they can think of is, hopefully I look good, hopefully I don't smell, hopefully I am, I don't know what.
Smelling's pretty bad though.
Yeah.
With both of your Instagram feeds, do you feel a pressure to keep it refreshed and daily content or weekly content? Like, how do you deal with that schedule? And... because it's a business in its own right. So how are you managing that?
It's so weird. I would love to say that I don't care. I just post whenever. I love Instagram and I use it as I want. It's weird because it's a gift. Instagram is a gift and it's a huge gift if you have those followers and all of those people watching you and are interested in your life. But sometimes it overtakes your life, you know? Sometimes you're just thinking of, oh, I want a picture. Oh, I want to... do cool Insta stories. I want to do this and that. And it's just like, okay, just try and relax. You're still living your life and you're allowed to have fun without filming it and posting it. And you're allowed to wear a cool outfit without posting it. And it's just so weird because it's still like in the back of your head, it gives you like you should post. It's like a weird thing. Right?
It sounds so weird when I'm saying that,
but it's really...
I think you can even say with me, I feel like I've been on a journey recently where I'm sharing less and less of my like personal life for no real reason. I just feel like I want to enjoy it more in that moment rather than think, oh, I should film this or I should do this, I should do that. The same with the actual posts as well. Instagram for me used to always just be a byproduct of YouTube
whatever
and everything.
Doing.
Yeah, it always used to be a byproduct. And I would say more recently with all the fashion stuff that I'm like trying to do now, it's become more of a like strategic, this is an element of my job and this is what I want to do with it rather than this is my life on Instagram and I'm just sharing it with
you. That's what it is. In you guys, in your positions, it's a job, isn't it? It's a business.
Yeah, but
like it's not
so
just a
it is say. And I never accepted that of Instagram for so long. I was like, nah, but Instagram's just like me, it's a byproduct of me. It's just
I feel like it's more monetized than say Twitter or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's great. Instagram still is, I think, the fastest growing platform, and it's the platform that brands within this space are turning to more and more for sponsorships. Rather, I can speak coming from the YouTube side, you know, YouTube was always the first to do like branded work with social media stars and stuff, and then Instagram is becoming more and more.
Yeah, but the thing is, for me, Instagram is still not a job. You know what I mean? It's Instagram for me is still not a business. It's still me, and it's still things I want to post, and it's not, I don't know, it's just such a weird combination of, yes, I do get paid for some posts, but I would never do those posts if I don't like them. It's just, it's still me and myself and what I really like, either if it's like fashion or makeup or anything.
Yeah, it's like with everything, balance.
Yeah.
Isn't it? No, but it is. It's like, of course, people follow you for who you are. Like, you're funny on Instagram.
I'm funny.
Sometimes. And
such a bully.
You're also, yeah, it's a balance of the two, bringing your personality into whatever it is you're doing on Instagram.
So, guys, we all went for lunch yesterday. Oh, it was so cute.
It was vegan.
Nice. It was vegan.
Yeah.
But you both said how, because you're going on a trip later this year and you're going to go social media free for that trip. How are you feeling about that? And how will it work just with what you're doing?
Just to clarify, I don't know if we said for the whole trip.
No, that's a two.
So yeah, I did say to Matt, we spoke about it, didn't I? I said that I would love to, because we've been on holiday before.
He said one day.
No, we've been on holiday before. And
one hour.
Can I put my phone down for an hour? Ooh, steady on. But yeah, we've always said we've wanted to do it, but we never do. But I definitely want to use that trip as...
To try it.
But not even immersing myself in social media. So not even talking about personally posting, just not even browsing social media. And we all have become so... obsessed and addicted to social media.
I think just
in everyday life. Yeah, phones in general, screen time, it is scary. And we've all been there where you forget your phone for something and you literally feel so helpless in so many situations. It's a little bit embarrassing, but it's also a little bit scary. And I just think I want to experience that without this big social media element there. And one, see what it's like. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Mate, wait until the phone, is just all up here in your head. That's when, how would you switch off then? I mean, that's for another podcast. probably not this one.
It does stress me out if I'm thinking of not posting for a week and not doing social media for a week, because you are also kind of scared to lose it. Mm. You know, if you have this gift, you don't want to lose it.
Yeah, of course. So yeah. Is that what you're thinking then? So if you go like a couple of days not posting, you're like, people going to stop following. Is that what you're worried about? Is it competitors? Is it other people who are?
I lost that worry a long time ago.
No, I think... It's not because of other people at all. It's more about the followers and more about, is my engagement and going down and stuff, and are people then less interested in me, and what are the people thinking? And I just have so many weird thoughts, and I just put pressure on myself. I think my followers, they wouldn't care and they would understand, but I put pressure on myself.
Man, it's the same. Think when we were daily uploading on YouTube, the whole YouTube platform, society, culture thinks that, oh my god, if you don't post a video every day, you're fucked.
True.
And when you're in that moment of posting every day, if we didn't post for one day, both of us are like, oh my god, people are gonna stop watching, oh my god, we're not gonna get any more subscribers. And
it was true.
But you're sucked into this
of course you are
cycle of shit.
So weird.
But I think in fairness with Steffi, I feel like she enjoys that a lot more than you were maybe enjoying the daily uploads.
Loving those deep fried videos.
Okay.
I just do them in my spare time now. Like whenever I've got a couple of hours, fuck it, let's turn
my
kitchen.
That's what you guys were doing last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Deep frying. How did you think of deep frying? Was it just like, what does get a lot of views? Let's fry some stuff.
Oh, the process, the storyboarding that went into these, iconic.
Mate, we thought we were like Steve Jobs when we came up with that. Do you remember the toaster as well?
Throw a donut in there. Yeah.
It was gross.
Ice cream? We can deep fry that. Sure. My favorite bit was trying it.
Oh, he spit it out always. He always had one little bite.
I put on a lot of weight when we were doing those videos. Because I didn't spit it out. I finished the rest of it too.
Out of choice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, not forcing me to do
Eat
it.
This now.
So usually, guys, if you are an avid listener of our podcast, we have a segment of We Love This and You Should Too.
Or at least try it.
This week is particularly special for Steffi because... That's going to sound awful. It's going to sound horrible for the people listening at
home. Just tap the mic?
Sorry.
You've got your own products out!
How exciting. Yeah, my own skincare brand is coming out and it feels weird.
You know? I'm not going to pretend like I don't know what it is. What is it? Tell us more.
What is it you want to know?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about it. Tell me more.
Okay, so I'm bringing out 5 products with a German, how do you call it? Like boots, you have
like
boots
a
pharmaceutical?
You
is that
call it
it
like a chemist.
No, it's not pharmaceutical. Like it's not bringing out drugs. Yeah, like a chemist.
Like a department store.
It's called DM, and I'm bringing my own skincare brand out with them, and I'm so freaking excited. So 5 products. I was working on that for 1 year, and I'm just so excited. It's coming
What's it
out
called?
Now. It's called moi. Moi is a Russian word. It means my. And I decided to call it a Russian name because obviously my first language was Russian. And everything I know about skin care is from my mom. So she taught me how to, you know, treat my skin, what kind of products are good for me. And so I decided to kind of, how do you say it? Like, do it for my mom?
Well, it, like, inspired you, yeah.
I'm like, I honored it, my mom.
Has she tried it yet?
Sorry?
Has she tried it yet?
Oh, of course. No. Yeah, she did.
Did it get the seal of approval?
She loves it. She was like, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks
and,
very cool.
And it feels great. Like, it's very good material and everything, but what it does to your skin is amazing.
For any of you Germans, you can go into any DM and get it IRL. In real life, Steffi will be in every single store whenever you happen to go in.
Waiting.
What?
Where? She won't. That is a joke.
I didn't sign up for this.
But, or you can go and get it online at
dm.de. Happy with
it. Good luck. Hope it goes well.
Thank you so much,
Matt. Sure it will. And I'm looking forward to my sorting my eyes out.
Next
That's
episode.
Cool. Honestly, I'll send you a lot of stuff.
Yay.
Also for your girlfriend.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
For a big question.
Yes.
You nervous?
Yeah.
You should be. Because...
You stopped speaking so seriously. You're putting me on edge with how you're speaking.
So the big question is a segment where I will go away each week, find my favourite things on the internet, normally a Daily Mirror article, I'm not going to lie, and then I will derive a question from it. So
cool.
This week's headline is...
Cool.
Thanks, Steffi. Marcus never says anything when I do the intro.
Mate, I've sat through 84 big questions. I'm sure the first one we ever came up with, I was like, yeah, that's really good, actually. No, yeah. When you do say 84 times...
Steffi sounded genuinely like, oh, cool. Yeah. Looking forward to this.
Me too.
No, you're not.
Fucking pumped, bro. Let's do it.
So, the headline is, toasty restaurant with completely bonkers fillings to open in the UK.
Do you know what a toasty is?
Do you know what a toasty is?
It's like a schnitzel.
No. It's like
similar.
A sandwich that is put into like a hot toaster and it's like melted.
And we have in Germany, yes.
What's that called in German?
That's a sandwich, but we have a commercial in Germany where we have this toasty and then they say, don't call it a schnitzel, because people were calling it a schnitzel.
Why are they calling it a schnitzel?
Because it is actually
schnitzel's like
absolute drama in Germany.
Schnitzel's like deep fried breadcrumbs, isn't it?
But you put it in a toaster. In Germany, you can buy it and then you can put it in a toaster and then it gets out.
Ah, okay.
And it's super yummy.
Okay.
This place in Manchester, and they've opened up, they just do toasties. There's like 30 different variations. So a few of the weirder ones, katsu curry.
What?
In a toasty. Have you had the katsu curry from Wakamama?
No. Katsu curry is a very like...
Oh, there's a Thai curry one.
Yeah, okay.
You'll be having that in Thailand.
Thai curry. Sorry, mate. Can I get a Thai curry toasty? You toasty?
Apple and custard.
Oh,
apple and custard.
I don't know what
toasty.
This is where we find out how British this sounds.
Imagine how many people are listening. Like, what are you talking about? Custard.
So I'm gonna show you pictures.
Well, you know, hot dog toasty. So
like a
sausage
dog.
In a
that actually sounds alright.
But I'm definitely up for a lot of toasties.
So this is apple, like an apple pie, and custard is like a really milky.
Oh.
Buttery
custard's amazing.
Sauce poured over it. Imagine that in a toasted sandwich.
Yeah, awful.
Weird.
That'd be like
weird.
A puddle. That'd
it's
be
great.
Weird.
No, that's
it's great.
No.
And then
you would like
my favourite one here, and this is, I think, very British. A super noodles toasty.
Soup and noodles.
Yeah.
In a toasty.
Yeah.
How is that happening?
Don't know. And there's no picture, so they might be lying. Forgive me. This is such a big question. I feel bad putting you under... I don't want to throw you under the bus.
What's your favourite sandwich filling?
Do you want to ring your management or anything? Just check you're okay to answer it, because this is big.
It's going to be that, isn't it? Is it?
What is your favourite late night snack?
Fucking hell, mate. Jesus Christ, I am
I love how you build edge. Up. I was like, what? Oh, pizza. Pizza, baby. Franco Manca. I can remember the night when you took out the scissors and you showed me how to cut a pizza when you really want to. And it was amazing.
Amazing, right?
Cut pizza with scissors.
Can I just say, if you get a pizza, for example, Franco Manca, they don't come sliced, right? And not everyone has pizza slices at home.
Oh, and also it's...
Whip the scissors out, straight through. Bam. Cut your slices with scissors.
It was amazing.
Toppings still on there.
Can you remember that? That's definitely your favorite late night snack. If we're unhealthy. If we're healthy, I would say Halo ice cream.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What pizza toppings? What do you like on your pizza?
Just margarita.
Just margarita.
Meat.
Domino's meat feast.
I would probably say chocolate. Not on a pizza. In... Late night snack, like, oh, mate, the Lindt chocolate balls.
You've just come in from a night... Let me set the scene. You've just gone clubbing at the Berghain. Is that the one in Berlin? Yeah. What is your go-to food? What are you having there?
Anything you want. Tuna.
Crisps.
Crisps?
Well, yeah.
Mate, that's so boring.
What's yours? Yeah, true. What's yours?
I think curry or kebab or both.
Curry in the night.
Yeah.
Like rice and curry.
Yeah. It's really? A very heavy meal to then fall asleep 10 minutes after.
I'm not judging you. Pizza is also not really liked.
Well, look, maybe crisps not. It would be
mate,
like...
come on, live a little.
Thank you. Right. Thank
Old
you.
Marcus.
That's what I'm always telling.
Old Marcus, after a night out in Brighton, I'd go to Burger King.
And eat the stuff that he sees
did
other
that a few
trays.
Times. I would smash an XL bacon double cheeseburger meal, large... Then head down to Subway, meet the rest of my mates, get a foot long as well.
Mate, I love how you still got that memorized.
Not memorized, that was my daily Friday, or weekly Friday night.
He
daily.
Never does that with me.
I'm an animal.
Cool, that was this week's big question.
Well, thanks guys.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Marcus. It was really nice.
You're most welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please carry on giving us loads of 5-star reviews and lovely comments on the review section because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Thank you very much, guys. We will see you next week.
See you.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.